from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
What a fun way to start the show today. You know, it's an ongoing conversation among Georgia fans about these quarterbacks. How does Jake Fromm compare to Justin Fields? Is Fromm going to be even better in a sophomore season than he was as a freshman? Or is Justin Fields just too good of a talent to allow Jake Fromm to remain the starter? And at some point in time, is Justin Fields going to overtake Fromm? That's a pretty, almost like an intramural argument that takes place among Georgia fans this time of year. But it's important to know that while the Fromm-Fields comparison is the kind of thing you almost can't avoid, there is another comparison going on around the country, and frankly, I think this is far more interesting and from a Georgia perspective, far better than the Fromm-Fields comparison here for the moment. It's how Fromm compares to the other quarterbacks in college football, and there are a growing list of analysts who think that Fromm compares very favorably to almost every QB in the land, which obviously means good things for Georgia here in 2018. Let me give to you the latest example that sort of indicates just how true this is. It is from a friend of Dog Nation Daily here, Chase Goodbread from NFL.com. We had Chase on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's writing about at NFL.com about the players in the country that he thinks could compete for the Heisman here in 2018. And up very near the top of his list, he's got Jake Fromm ahead of any other SEC quarterback and ahead of just about everybody in the country. And what Goodbread writes about Fromm is, a year ago, there wasn't any thought that Jake Fromm would even be the Bulldogs' starting quarterback. Now, and listen to this phrase, he's a no-brainer for Heisman candidacy after a huge freshman season that nearly lifted UGA to its first national title since 1980. Fromm's signature win came at the Rose Bowl against last year's Heisman winner Baker Mayfield in the College Football Playoff semifinal game. Granted, Georgia's rushing attack led the way against the Sooners, but the unflappable Fromm calmly threw for two touchdowns and played a full game plus two overtimes without a turnover. That's Chase Goodbread from NFL.com, a pretty provocative quote about why Fromm, in his words, is a no-brainer for Heisman candidacy. And I think there is something very interesting about what Goodbread writes there. And it's one of the reasons why I like Jake Fromm a lot for this upcoming season. And one of the reasons why, to go back to yesterday's show for a moment, I'm not as scared about Georgia on the road at Missouri against a potential number one draft pick, top five pick maybe, in Drew Locke for the Tigers there on the road, because I saw Jake Fromm go head-to-head with big-time quarterbacks a season ago, and I saw him win those games. Were the numbers overall better than Baker Mayfield in the Rose Bowl? Maybe not. The truth is, I don't even really remember. But the victory belonged to Fromm that day, and he did stand toe-to-toe with him in every single respect. And there is, you know, some sort of discussion of, well, since Tua beat Fromm head-to-head, you know, he's the guy that ought to be the best quarterback in the SEC. But go back and look at that national championship game, as Chase Goodbread just mentioned. Did you see a problem with Fromm in that national title game? No, he more than held his own. He was very comfortable there in that spot, and it's one of the reasons why I think Georgia fans ought to have confidence in Fromm for this upcoming season. And frankly, it's Kirby Smart here whose words I think matter a bit on this, too. You know, he was at this region's tradition celebrity program. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten a chance to do this. It's actually pretty fun. Nate, who's working with us on the show today, have you ever been to the Regions Golf Tournament before? Have you ever been to this thing before? The Regions Golf Tournament? Have you been to this before? It's a it's a pretty fun deal. It's one of those deals where you get to kind of go and do this, and it's a senior tour event, but the coaches themselves are playing, and they're, you know, a part of the celebrity pro-am part of this. They meet with the media a lot, and Smart was there yesterday. He's a pretty good golfer, and he's on WJOX, which is a sports radio station in Birmingham, Alabama. He's hanging out with them. And obviously, as you might imagine, the subject of quarterbacks comes up there. And one of the things that that Kirby Smart has asked is, hey, in the first game of last season, when Eason goes down and Fromm comes in, what were you thinking there at that time? Were you thinking that Jake Fromm was going to be the guy for the rest of the season? How quickly did your thought process on Jake Fromm evolve? Well, here's what Kirby Smart told the radio station in Birmingham, WJOX, about that. Take a listen.
I think at the time I was worried about App State, who had a really good defense and had played Tennessee really well the year before, and we were very concerned about their team. So it gave us a little momentum in that game, and I thought, well, this young guy came in and did a good job. But Jacob was going to get every opportunity to come back, and I thought he did. But I thought that Fromm kept improving, and that's what kind of put us over the top in the end, is the fact he got better game to game.
And we've played all the audio from Kirby week to week talking about that very point. What Kirby describes there on the end about Jake Fromm, I think is really accurate, that Fromm did keep improving over the course of time. And as Fromm improved, his confidence grew. We actually played audio from Kirby Smart on that very subject yesterday in talking about that sort of point in the season when Fromm, it all kind of came together for him. And it only stands to reason here that as Fromm's confidence in himself grew, I think Kirby Smart's confidence in Jake Fromm grew too. You know, this was a team last year that still ran the ball a lot. This was a team whose identity was still based in large measure around that running game with a big, powerful offensive line. In 2018, I think that's probably, at least to a certain extent, still going to be the case. But we know this. A sophomore Jake Fromm with more season and more experience is probably going to be relied on a bit more here in 2018 than he was in 2017. And my guess is, given the fact that he's sort of stood up and met every challenge that's come his way thus far in a Georgia uniform, my guess is that he steps up and handles this challenge here as well. And that Fromm, already a fan favorite, could be even more of a fan favorite by the end of the season because of how well he plays. And he may even make good on the prediction from a guy like Chase Goodbread that he'll be in that Heisman conversation. Do I think he goes to New York? Do I think he wins the award? It's probably obviously way too early to sort of guess on that kind of stuff. But do I think he's in the thick of that conversation for most of the season? I think I probably do, which sort of brings us back to the conversation du jour for Georgia fans this time of year, if you'll pardon that phrase. Not just how Fromm compares to Jarrett Stidham and Drew Locke and Will Greer from West Virginia and Khalil Tate, the kid from Arizona, and all these other, you know, potential Heisman candidates. It's how he compares to Justin Fields. Can you be a Heisman candidate but not necessarily the overwhelming favorite to hold on to your job all season long? Well, some Georgia fans seem to be able to, you know, have questions about that right now. They seem to want to have that debate of the Fromm versus Fields thing. And yesterday when Kirby Smart was on WJOX, as you might imagine, that subject also comes up too. And when Kirby's asked, how are you going to handle these two really good quarterbacks on the same practice field at the same time? Well, Kirby's answer pivots back to what it always does. It always comes down to one thing for him, and he made that abundantly clear once again yesterday.
Well, you compete. I mean, you let guys come out and compete. I think sometimes you guys think that we just make a decision and just go with it. I mean, we do what happens in practice. We have scrimmages. We've got 25 practices before our first game. And we're excited about those opportunities to find out how much better Jake can get and how much better Justin can get. And both of them do a good job managing our team. Both of them great in the locker room. So I'm excited to see where they go.
I look forward to this competition. I think it's going to be really Kirby used the word exciting there to see where it goes. I think that's a pretty good way to say all this. I am also excited to see where this goes. And I think competition makes Georgia better. I think it made Georgia better last season. I think it's going to make Georgia better this season. Almost every fan would agree with that. I guess my point here to sort of sum up this entire discussion, though, is while there is nothing wrong with being a fan of Justin Fields, I'm a fan of Justin Fields. For those of you that have been listening to a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza for a long time, you know how much I wanted to see Fields end up at Georgia. I asked Jeff Sintel about that 9,000 times, it seemed like, over the course of the last 12 months or so. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with being a fan of Justin Fields, but I would encourage all Georgia fans not to allow their fandom for Fields to make them forget just how good Jake Fromm actually might be in comparison to all the other quarterbacks in college football, all the other players in college football. In a lot of ways, 2017 was a coming out party for Fromm, but 2018 may be the next step in that progression. 2018 may be the year in which Jake Fromm actually not just distances himself from Justin Fields, which might happen, but distances himself from the pack in college football. This could truly be a year in 2018 where Jake Fromm becomes a pretty big-time household name by putting up some pretty big numbers for UGA. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are glad you're with us, no matter how you get to us. On the video front, 10 a.m., we're live, Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page. We're also available on the Dog Nation Twitter feed there. As I said, 10 a.m. live every single day there. On the radio at noon with our friends in the Classic City, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being on the radio in Athens. We love our friends there in the Athens area. Oconee County, Jackson County, Clark County, wherever you are in Athens. Thanks for checking us out here on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And in podcast form, on the all the various devices, Apple Podcasts, Android devices. We post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Thank you so much for being with us in the program today. And special thank you for Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. Marco's reminds you to say hello to making any night a primo night with Marco's Pizza and two medium, two topping pizzas for an everyday value of just $7.99 each. Order yours from Marcos.com. True story. Yesterday, for those of you that watch us on a video every day, you may have seen Patchy Marco, the founder of Marco's Pizza, on the program with us yesterday. A lot of talk about Marco's Pizza. on our show a day ago, and it got me hungry. I was just craving Marco's all day long. So my family last night, we took advantage of this very offer. Yes, we did. Two medium, two topping pizzas for $7.99 each. Listen, when you got a family of four, you're looking to save money any way you can. That's a great, great deal, a primo deal, if you don't mind me saying so. And you can make tonight a primo night around your family as well, thanks to Marco's Pizza for making Dog Nation Daily possible every single day. Later on, we're going to bring back Bill Bender from the Sporting News. I just talked a lot about Jake Fromm. When Bill ranked at the Sporting News his quarterbacks for 2018, he actually had Fromm very high on his list as well. Not as high as Tua, which we'll talk to him about, but higher than every other quarterback in the SEC, including the aforementioned Drew Locke, who everybody seems to be in love with right now. We'll find out more from Bill Bender in a few minutes exactly why he felt that way. That's actually going to be a really fun conversation. Before that, though, there is one thing that I've been thinking we ought to do a little more of here on Dog Nation Daily, and I want to do some of that right now. You know, this is not the only content being pushed out by Dog Nation each week. Obviously, we do Dog Nation Daily every single day, but, you know, Jeff Sintel's got his shows that he does. He does the Wednesday night Facebook Live presented by Kroger. He does Before the Hedges on Monday with Hannah. Chip Towers got his show on Thursday, and y'all, this is good stuff. You know, I'm watching these shows every week, and I'm always thinking, I can't believe that Dog Nation is pushing out so much great content, so much really useful information for the people who follow this this stuff closely. And Jeff Sintel's Wednesday Night Live Facebook show last night was a perfect example of this. Now, he's on the road. He's getting ready to go to the IMG Spring Game tonight. He was visiting with a Derek Rambo Hunter a little earlier this week. But that didn't stop Jeff from doing Wednesday Night Facebook last night. A really fascinating conversation. And I want to play you a couple pieces of video. I should say a couple pieces of audio here. We'll do it as an audio on our deal, even though it's a video show. And the reason why I do this is twofold. A, because I just think it's juicy content. And B, I'm hopeful that it'll serve as a reminder of you that, you know, we do this show in the morning, but if you're hanging out during the evening, you're looking for something fun to do, check out the Facebook Live from Jeff Sintel on Wednesdays or on Mondays when he's talking UGA recruiting, because he gives you some pretty interesting backstory into the stuff that he's writing about on a regular basis. Let me give you a for instance. One of the names we're paying close attention to right now is Derek Rambo Hunter. That's the big-time defensive lineman down in Florida who is one of the rare examples of Georgia and Florida going head-to-head over a prospect. We haven't seen Georgia and Florida battling too much for the same guys. For whatever reason, they just programs that just seem to swim in different recruiting waters. But Hunter has visited Florida a lot, has called Georgia his leader, was at G-Day for the Georgia game back in April, and was blown away by what he saw. That was his first ever visit to a UGA. But now maybe backtracking on some of that a bit, and a guy that's seemingly swayed in a lot of different directions. Well, last night on the Wednesday Night Live Facebook broadcast from Jeff Sintel, he sort of dove into that subject, kind of previewing what he would write about in the same night's Sintel Intel. Here's good stuff from Jeff on Derek Rambo Hunter. Take a listen to this.
Rambo Hunter, I visited him today. Learned a whole lot about Rambo Hunter, especially why a lot of folks in the recruiting industry kind of call him the yo-yo recruit, the up-and-down recruit, which means everyone. Basically, it seems like sometimes a lot of reporters feel that wherever he visits or wherever he goes, he's the new favorite and the new fan of that school. And I learned some very interesting things about why Derek Rambo Hunter does that.
Jeff went on in his Sintel Intel piece to sort of explain more about that, about the fact that Rambo, this is Southern hospitality, to say good things for the school that he just visited. I think for a lot of Georgia fans, it can also be a little bit of a maddening deal here because you want to get some sort of insight into where he's going, but sometimes it seems like Hunter himself has a difficult time sort of portraying that insight about his own feelings, his own thought process here. Maybe it reminds you a bit of Aubrey Solomon from a couple years ago. You know, maybe there are other examples of this where you know, these guys get pulled in a lot of different directions, and it's really hard to determine who truly is the leader when you're hearing so many strong pitches from so many schools. I do think that Hunter's a priority for Georgia. I think it's hard to go into the Sunshine State and pull a guy out like this who Florida's chosen to make a priority, but it'd be a good chance for, as we say on this show, for dog fans who are Gator haters to go get a big win over Florida. I think that Derek Rambo Hunter would be a good example of that. However, with all due respect to Rambo here, the juiciest thing that Jeff Sintel said last night involves another recruit, a recruit that we don't talk about a lot here on Dog Nation Daily anymore. We used to, haven't in a while, though. It's John Emery Jr., the running back from Louisiana. But based on the movement of Georgia coaches as of late and the sources speaking to Jeff Sintel, It sounds like Emory may be a guy that either we should start talking about more or maybe forced to talk about more eventually. This is interesting stuff from Jeff. Take a listen.
Here's a little bit of intel for you guys. I think things have changed a little bit with John Emory Jr. The top recruit for UGA no one is talking about is probably John Emory Jr. The reason why is John said probably within the last month or so, especially after his recent visit to UGA, didn't really enjoy the visit, didn't really feel a lot of love. Also, he's told SEC Country that he wants to go somewhere where he can get like first team, second team carries right out of the box. And of course, that's not going to happen at Georgia. With John Emory, though, the final point I'll share with that is Emory had Cortez Hankton and Dale McGee there watching his scrimmage tonight. Auburn coaches were there. Florida coaches were there. LSU coaches were there. I think the inside track would have to be LSU. But I do hear that Georgia is coming up on LSU's heels. And that's very interesting considering what Georgia's doing at the running back spot right now, given that maybe the vogue recruit for the running back target for 2019 was IMG Academy five-star prospect Trey Saunders. Sources have told us at Dog Nation that John Emory will also be at UGA this weekend on a visit. So that's going to be a lot of guys in town for that.
So interesting stuff from Jeff Sintel. Check out the Wednesday night Facebook Live broadcast for more of that kind of recruiting information. For now, though, let's turn our attention back to the Dogs on the field for 2018. Let's welcome in Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And we'll say hello to a great college football writer and a very good friend here of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. It is Bill Bender. Been covering college football for a long time with the Sporting News. And, Bill, it's great to be able to welcome you back to a Dog Nation Daily today. Thanks so much for your time. How are you doing?
Oh, anytime. How are you doing? It's good to be on.
Well, it's good to have you here. And one of the things we were talking about before you came on the show, as you might imagine, was Jake Fromm. We talk a lot about Fromm, it seems like. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, praise coming Fromm's way. But when you wrote and ranked your quarterbacks of the 2018 season at the Sporting News a couple of weeks ago, you actually had Fromm ahead of some of the other SEC quarterbacks that sometimes we see Fromm ranked behind. You know, I love these kinds of rankings. I love these thought starter, debate starters this time of year. You had your top 25 quarterbacks, and you had Fromm behind Tua, which we'll get to, but ahead of guys like Jared Stidham, ahead of guys like Drew Locke. Locke may be a very high draft pick here in 2019. What is it about Fromm that you like in comparison to some of those other SEC quarterbacks that I just mentioned?
Maybe I'm weighing it too heavy on how he finished, but I mean, there's a guy that went into Atlanta and beat Stidham head-to-head in a good game. Then he went out to the Rose Bowl, and under, you know, they could have got buried in the Rose Bowl very easily, but he kept his calm, you know, rode that running game, led that big drive, and then, you know, you take it to the championship game, and I think I've told you this one before, and I hate to bring it up, but when he threw the 80-yard touchdown, I was ready to write Georgia in as national championship. Yeah. So I thought he played well on the biggest stages, and that really began at the Notre Dame game early in the year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, that moment when he became a starter for the first time, and he, you know, obviously grew from that point in time and finishes the way that he finished, I think that's a good point. But also in that sort of side-by-side, head-to-head comparison, you know, Tua does get the win in January, and you had Tua ranked ahead of Fromm. You know, the criticism would here would be, as you, I'm sure you probably heard on Twitter many times, for a guy like Tua who has not played that much yet, reigning national champion for sure, but not played that much, you know, is it fair to put Tua, I think you had him at number two on your list overall, is it fair to say the second-best quarterback in college football is a guy that hasn't played a ton yet?
Well, that's fair criticism. And there's quite a few on Twitter with Bulldog avatars coming at me with something like that. So I get it. I do. Here's what I would say, though. I think he played well in the biggest situation possible again. And this ranking kind of projects forward for me.
Sure.
You know what? My favorite thing about this list is I like to look back at it and look again at it in November and see who I hit, who I missed. And last year, for example, and we had Lamar, Darnold, and Mayfield near the top, but we also had a few guys on there that, you know, it didn't work out like we thought. So I get that criticism, given that we haven't seen a lot, but I just see it coming. I think we're dealing with a guy that's, you know, I think Tua and Jake are both going to be at the national conversation, big conversations, because they're going to lead these teams to big seasons.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unreasonable opinion at all. I mean, obviously, you know, we heard those rumblings, I'm sure you did too, a year ago that, you know, Tua Tagovailoa may have already been better than Jalen Hurts, even when he was mostly a guy performing in Alabama practices. This is the kind of thing that you can't keep a secret. When you're on your way to success, you're just not able to keep that a secret. It's probably some of the same kind of stuff that we heard about, you know, from sort of coming into his arrival at Georgia, that maybe there was something special about him that made him atypical of the normal freshman quarterback. And it's kind of funny how those Alabama and Georgia quarterback situations are a little bit similar in those regards, at least last season.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, obviously I'm sure you guys have talked till you're blue in the face about Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the big playoff contenders, it's universal right now. I think Alabama, you're dealing with two guys. Georgia, we don't have to run through that. I'm sure you guys do enough of that. Clemson, Lawrence and Bryant, and then even up at Ohio State where Burrow left, it does open the door for Haskins to start, but Tate Martell's still there. So That's kind of to me, the dominant story going into the season, that we have big-time playoff contenders with quarterback intrigue, all of them, not just one or two. I mean, all of them do.
Yeah, I don't want to get, you know, off the subject too much here, but I guess the one thing I would say in response to that is I have felt that if Alabama were to lose Jalen Hurts, and I think there's a chance that they, you know, do at some point in time this offseason, it actually puts them behind in terms of, you just described a bunch of teams that have national championship caliber backups, whether it's, you know, Kelly Bryant or Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. That's a really good backup. You know, you think it, you know, Fromm or Fields at Georgia, either way, the number two there is pretty strong. If the number two at Alabama suddenly becomes Mac Jones instead of Jalen Hurts, I think that Alabama suffers in comparison to the depth that Ohio State has and the depth of these other programs would have there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's all about how these coaches manage these situations. I was in the middle of it up here in Ohio when Urban had Cardale and JT Barrett at the same time, and even Braxton Miller. You know, they switched Braxton Miller to a receiver, and then Cardale started and JT started. They went 12-1. It worked out, but they didn't win the national championship, and there's only a handful of programs with that kind of expectation. So I agree with you. I think Georgia is in a good spot because Jake Fromm will start. You can't bench him. I think Clemson, dicey, because Trevor Lawrence, there's a lot of talk about him. It's going to be hard to kind of calm that down. But if I had to guess, I think Tua, Kelly Bryant, and Jake Fromm will be the week one starters for those programs. And Dwayne Haskins will start for Ohio State.
Yeah, now you also, it should be pointed out, and you mentioned this a moment ago, you're very high on Georgia this upcoming season. You had them ranked, I think, number three overall in your recent way too early top 25. You got them going to the Sugar Bowl. But it's also fair to point out here that you've got Alabama as the playoff representative coming out of the SEC, which a lot of people are going to have as well. Is the Tua Fromm thing for you the reason why it's Alabama over Georgia here? What gives the Tide the nod against the Georgia team that you've also got ranked pretty high here?
Well, yeah, that and, you know, I think it'd be a close game if they play. The hardest part for me doing these bowl projections was putting Alabama, not putting both of them in. Because if I had a first team out, I think it would be Georgia. I do see a scenario where, you know, and I have to go back and look, but I think the first 3 weeks of the playoff rankings last year, Georgia and Alabama were 1-2. So to me, that the possibility of both of them getting back to the playoff, and I don't, you know, people are going to get mad about that, but if they're both undefeated and play in Atlanta and it's a close game, both teams will go to the playoff.
So it's kind of funny that you said that, because there was another national writer, and we'll probably have him on the show at some point in time, who actually did put both Alabama and Georgia in, and I can't help but sort of like bring the human element into this, and you alluded to this, the idea that the country is just sort of tired of that. Bill, I don't mind telling you, even though I was obviously, you know, a bit of an SEC homer, probably touting for both these teams again in a year ago, I didn't think the committee would ever do it. I didn't think there was any stomach for, you know, three teams from the Deep South to represent the country in a four-team college football playoff. I thought Ohio State was going to get in over Alabama for that reason, and it seems hard for me to imagine that 2 years in a row you'd give the benefit of the doubt to a second SEC team, you know, whatever the number two team would be in that regard. But it sounds like you think that there is still a pathway for both these teams to still get into the playoff once again.
I think the two conferences that could do it are the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So if the Big Ten had, well, they did have undefeated Wisconsin last year. If they had, you know, a situation where Ohio State and Michigan were both undefeated and the other team backdoored in like Alabama did last year, I could see that. And I think in that, like you said, when I always tell the story that after Ohio State beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game last year, I threw up one of those Twitter polls and said, who's going, Alabama, Ohio State? Around 11:58, I looked at the results, and it was literally 50-50.
Wow.
So I think, you know, that it could happen again. But again, if Georgia and Alabama were both 12-0 and played,
yeah,
and there was one-loss teams all over the place, and you knew that those were the two best teams in the country, which we kind of felt in some ways last year, that it could easily happen again.
You've gotten to Georgia number 3 in your way to really top 25. That's obviously, I think, good news for most of the audience listening here right now. But as a way of kind of fleshing this out, let me play devil's advocate for a moment. You know, Sports Illustrated, I think Georgia had all the way down to 8, which is not a bad season, but it's much lower than dog fans, I think, want to be here in 2018. And the naysayer is going to say, how do you replace Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel? The naysayer is going to say, hey, you know, this is a Georgia program that had one good year. How do you come back and do that again in year 2? To the more critical eye of Georgia here, and the difficulty replacing departed stars, and the challenge of Kirby Smart in year 3, kind of continuing this run. Why do you not fall prey to that level of skepticism that some people seem to have about Georgia during this offseason?
Well, look at the SEC East right now. I mean, I'm not talking down about South Carolina. I actually think South Carolina is their biggest competition this year within the division. They've got a good quarterback. Will Muschamp's got them going in the right direction. Florida and Tennessee are in transitions right now. Mizzou's a good team, but I don't think they can beat Georgia. I don't see anybody that can beat Georgia in the SEC East. That's where I'm kind of starting from. And then you work it back to, you know, if they finish 11-1 or 12-0 and they get to Atlanta, they're playing for a shot to get in. I think the running back stable's there. I mean, I know they lose Chubb and Sonny, but I mean, you got like 4 guys there that can run the ball.
Right.
The defense is going to be more talented. This recruiting they run there on is absurd. So you got to figure some of these young guys will play too. And see a team that's talented. I mean, the 4 most talented teams in the country to me are Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I put Oklahoma in. I just think Oklahoma has a little bit of an easier run
yeah.
through the Big 12 than those other schools do.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you on almost all of that. You wrote an interesting piece of the day about future non-conference schedules. You're kind of, like looking at what each year holds for the future. And I'm curious in your research for that and kind of what you laid out, if you notice something that I believe is on its way, which is the new thing that's going to be in vogue are these home-and-home deals. You know, Georgia's doing one with Notre Dame, not this year, but that went to South Bend last year, and Notre Dame comes to Athens in 2019. Alabama's signed its Notre Dame series. They got the Texas deal coming up. That the era of the kind of like the neutral site non-conference games, the ones that are played in Atlanta and Dallas and Orlando, those hotbeds for recruiting, those are going to be less in vogue in the future, and more of these teams are going to want to do this stuff on campus. When you look ahead to future non-conference schedules, are you seeing that emerging as a trend, or maybe not yet?
Not yet. I still think the Chick-fil-A game that they had down there in Atlanta was awesome. You know, if you can get 2 really good opponents on a neutral field, that's fine. Same thing with the one they have down in Jerry World. You know, I've done that one a few times. I know Alabama's certainly taking advantage of those stages. But to me, there's no substitute for home and home. There's no substitute for, you know, you guys got to experience that down there with Georgia going up to South Bend.
That's great.
Or, you know, if Georgia and Michigan or Ohio State had one. I think that those are the ones to exploit. Or if we could get more, in a perfect world to me, if we could get more Big Ten SEC power matchups home and home, it'd be great for college football.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Let me finish with this, Bill, if you don't mind, on a more somber note. Obviously, the SEC is sad here this morning as Mike Slive, a terrific commissioner, and I think by almost anybody's account, a terrific guy, passed away at the age of 77. No doubt you had many personal interactions with him over the years. What are your thoughts about this, sad day for the SEC, no longer having us live with us here?
No, I've just been reading the tributes. George Schrader from USA Today, Andy Staples, Matt Hayes, a close friend of mine, just reading their tributes. They were around him a little more than I was, obviously. And they're excellent, points. I mean, as Andy Staples wrote, Mike Slide's one of those guys that he's responsible for the college football playoff and elevating the SEC into what it is now. I think that's a fair assumption. So, so it's a loss. And it sounds like, from all these tributes, too, you're just dealing, as I know, we're dealing with this just incredible human being. And, obviously what he did for the conference is notable, but as a person, he was much more than that.
Bill, that's well said. We really appreciate your time here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. You're doing great stuff there at the Sporting News. It's so much fun to read this stuff as we get ready for the start of the season. For people who want to find more of you, where can they go?
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 and at SportingNews.com, and we have bowl projections, previews, quarterback list up, and it's earlier than usual, but the people are reading it, so we're going to keep shelling it out there for you guys. It's so great to talk to you. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, never too early for us, Bill. You know, we start the season preview somewhere around January around here, so it's never too early for us. I can assure you of that, but we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Bill Bender from the Sporting News, and, you know, we kind of joked there at the end about you know, the fact that the preseason content seems to come earlier and earlier. And around here, we just love that. You know, we love getting ready for the season. And I tell you all the time, you know, I actually enjoy this time of year. So, you know, some college football, you know, writers or people who talk about this stuff for a living sort of act like this is sort of the laboring time, tough to get through this time of year. But not for me. You know, a guy like Chase Goodbread says he thinks that, you know, Jake Fromm's on that, you know, short list of Heisman candidates. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get interested in that. You know, I like kicking these opinions around. Some people sort of mockingly call them hot takes, but for me, it's all good stuff and all in good fun. And I'm thankful for guys like Bill Bender who write what they write and then come on the program here and back it all up. It's really good stuff, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as I do. Obviously, one thing we don't enjoy is the subject we had to deal with there a moment ago with the passing of Mike Slive, the former SEC commissioner, replaced by Greg Sankey, but really irreplaceable in a lot of ways in terms of the impact that he had on the sport. And when you read a lot of these tributes to Slive that's out there, many of you probably did not get a chance to meet him personally. The one thing that will be noted here over and over again is how nice of a guy he was. And I do find that to be, you know, pretty amazing that when you are powerful, you don't have to be nice. People will tolerate you not being. And Slive was among the more powerful people you could ever meet in terms of his impact on college football, a business that generates, you know, billions of dollars of revenue over the course of years. You know, Slive was powerful enough that he wasn't required to be nice. People would have tolerated the opposite from him, and yet he still chose to deal with people on a direct basis and treat people with dignity and respect. And it is really intriguing to me just how much other people notice that. That's the kind of thing that's really appreciated, and especially when someone who doesn't have to do it chooses to do it anyway. That's a big part of Mike Slive's legacy, and for those of us, and I am an unabashed SEC homer, not just, you know, a Georgia guy, but a guy that's real proud of this league, too. And when I think about my pride in the league, I do realize that Mike Slive, along with Roy Kramer before him, but a lot of these, you know, instrumental figures are guys that we really have to thank for all of that. And obviously our condolences go out to the family and friends of Mike Slive as he does pass away at the age of 77. On to happier subjects here for a moment. So I mentioned what Jake Fromm shows up on the list of, you know, potential Heisman candidates from Chase Goodbread, NFL.com. I think Fromm was number three on the list. I believe Fromm was at six on this list. So he's at number six. The only guys ahead of him are Kelly Bryant, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, Shea Patterson, who's at Michigan now, Bryce Love, and Will Greer. Those are the only guys ahead of him. As far as Chase Goodbread's other SEC names on the list, he does have Jarrett Stidham coming in at number eight on the list. We got a little graphic here on our video. Wow, we are big business here on the video side of things. Jarrett Stidham comes in at eight from Chase Goodbread's list. Drew Locke comes in at number 10. Tua Tagovailoa at 12, and Nick Fitzgerald at 15. Now, isn't this interesting here? We just talked to Bill Bender, who's a smart guy, college football writer of the Sporting News, who's got Tua Tagovailoa as the second-best quarterback in the sport. Chase Goodbread, another smart guy, different publication, has Tua Tagovailoa only 12 on his list of likely Heisman candidates for Alabama. Now, if you have to say, why is this true, I didn't read what Chase wrote about that, but obviously there's competition with the Tide there. They're going to give Najee Harris a lot of carries, and you know, maybe it's still a team that in some measure is led by Raekwon Davis and that defense. Maybe Tua doesn't get enough of the credit. But if there's ever a point coming in which Tua's not getting credit, I don't know when that's going to happen because, you know, he's praised the moon, you know, every single day here during this offseason. So kind of an interesting contrast of opinion between a couple of smart guys when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. Here is something to watch. Defensive lineman Josh Belk, a former Uber recruit to Clemson. Tigers have gotten a lot of those lately. But for whatever reason, it's not working for Belk at Clemson. he's choosing to transfer. And one of the schools mentioned is a possibility here, and Hale McGranahan's got some good reporting up on this at SECCountry.com. One of the schools being mentioned as a possible spot for a transfer here is South Carolina. So what would this do in the Palmetto State there if Belk were to leave Clemson and go to the in-state rival South Carolina? Now, I'll be frank with you, I'm pretty jealous here that South Carolina could be in the mix for a pretty good-looking transfer. But also, that's spicy. It really adds some spice to that rivalry here. If Belk leaves Clemson, goes to South Carolina, he wants to be closer to home. Columbia's only about 50 miles from his home. Clemson's about 2.5 hours away. It's also worth noting that South Carolina not the only school that he's considering here, but that could be one that he does consider. And then let me also sneak in one more story for our SEC through here for a moment. And this is one of those things that some Georgia fans are going to love and some Alabama fans are going to hate. Alabama has signed its home-and-home with Texas. They're going to play a home-and-home with the Longhorns, going to Austin, something I think the Georgia fans would love to do at some point in time. That's a pretty good series here. And I saw some Georgia fans on social media saying something to the effect of, you know, that this was Alabama getting the best of Georgia when it comes to this kind of scheduling. I don't necessarily feel that way. I mean, Georgia's got its Notre Dame return trip coming in 2019. They got UCLA a few years from now, and I think there'll be more of these added to the Georgia schedule at some point in time. I think the Clemson thing's going to get done at some point, which is a huge regional rivalry here for Georgia. I don't think Georgia's going to take a backseat to non-conference scheduling with anybody. Maybe, and to go back to what Bill Benner was talking about before, you know, maybe these sort of Chick-fil-A kickoff classics and things like that. I believe that fans would rather have the home and homes right now than the Chick-fil-A kickoff classics. You know, maybe that's the deal here. But overall, I think the real narrative for, you know, what Alabama's doing, going to Texas now, going to Notre Dame. I mean, this is Alabama straight copycatting Georgia, I believe. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever Alabama's doing this unless it saw the reaction that everybody gave to Georgia for taking 40,000 fans to South Bend a year ago. This is a total reaction to that. Nick Saban has about-faced everything about this in response, I believe, to the Georgia-Notre Dame series. The other facet to this is he understands that when you have the home and home, you get to host recruits. You can't host recruits for a neutral site game. There wouldn't be much value to it even if you could. I think you see the value in recruiting for this, and you also see the national brand that can grow when you travel to South Bend and Austin, Texas. So Alabama's got the extra series right now that Georgia doesn't have. They've got Texas coming up. But I think you'll see a lot of these for Georgia in the near future, and we'll make that your SEC through. And now here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marcos Pete's, I want to continue with what we've been doing now for a few days. And I think this has been really fun, a good addition to the show. And at some certain point in time, I also want to try to open this up and make it the kind of thing that our audio audience, our podcast and radio friends can interact with us a bit more on. But we call it our Dog Day Q&A. It's our way of kind of being a bit more interactive during this, the dog days of summer. But we spell dog a little different. We spell it D-A-W-G. And going back to what we started the show with today, our Dog Day Q&A for today is Jake Fromm a Heisman candidate? And there's a specific reason why I ask this question. If you think that Justin Fields is eventually going to beat him out, then you don't think that Fromm's a Heisman candidate. So, you know, this is where I think it's interesting. And I'm not trying to pit the Fromm folks against the Field folks. I'm really not. I'm hoping that Dog Nation stays united throughout this entire season. That's the best thing for the program. And I think the fans are ultimately going to do the right thing here. But it is important to remember in this sort of ongoing debate, and it's more of a discussion, it's more debate than discussion maybe as of late. In this ongoing debate, the outside praise for Fromm, I think, has got to factor into this. The fact that there are some people who think that he could rank highly on this list of potential Heisman candidates, that does factor into this discussion. So we'll kind of hear from you on that. Alan Verbonchik on Fromm says he didn't lose the national championship game. Kirby going conservative did. You know, we can rehash that in the past, but I think it's important to know that he wasn't really outplayed in that game, which is, I think, the point that Alan's trying to make there. Jake Quinn, also on Facebook, says he is a Heisman candidate. And I think I would agree with Jake on that. I'm not sure he wins it, but I think there's a possibility. Marcus Simmons says that Fromm needs to improve, and we heard that from Kirby Smart a moment ago, too, that there is still a level of improvement that Fromm's got to bring to the table. And I think that when you predict Fromm to be in the Heisman conversation, I think that prediction is based on a projection that he will improve, right? I don't think anyone would say, as he is right now, where he ended his freshman season, that Fromm's already good enough. I don't think that's what people would say here. But I think they would look at the degree to which he progressed over the course of his freshman season and say that has a chance to continue through his sophomore year. David Hemansky says it was the interception that was the game changer, but that ball did bounce off a helmet there, and that's probably true. And, you know, I know I make some of y'all mad when I say this sometimes. I'm not as worried about interceptions as everybody else is. I'm really not. I'm more worried about the ability to make big throws than I am the ability to avoid interceptions. So, you know, if Fromm throws a pick, and he had some inaccurate throws in the spring game, it was sort of weird to see. I will admit that. But from Fromm or Fields, either one, I'm not going to be scared off by interceptions. I'm more going to be impressed by the big throws that they make. And about a year or so ago, Jim Dinan was on Dog Nation Daily, and he made a good point about, you know, virtually that same thing. John West said over spring break, Fromm stayed home and worked out with a quarterback coach. And, you know, there is that thing about Fromm that's almost, you know, from the perspective of a cynical old adult, almost too good to be true. He just seems to be fully committed to his game. And it's one of the reasons why I think he has a really good chance to improve, and one of the reasons why so many of you weighing in right now seem to think that Fromm also has a chance to be a Heisman candidate by the end of the season. We appreciate your comments on the Dog Day Q&A. We'll look forward to doing that again tomorrow. But for now, we will get ready to wrap up. 163 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And we think Dogs beat Florida again. It's our Gator Hitter Countdown. We do it every single day here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Also, best of luck to the Diamond Dogs tonight. Don't forget, it's Georgia baseball here this evening. And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday here for this final series of the year against Arkansas. A big one for Georgia. Probably needing 2 of 3 here to improve NCAA seeding. Maybe getting a chance to host a regional. So hope the weather holds off as I look out the window here. And hopefully Georgia gets a chance to beat up on the Hogs here on that. And let me also kind of shift gears one more time into a more somber subject. As I mentioned earlier in the show, once again, as the fight song plays, condolences from our family all around Dog Nation to the family of Andy Johnson, the former great Georgia Bulldog, who passes away yesterday. A terrific DGD on and off the field, and we certainly send prayers out to the family. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.